going to the hurry-up offense.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Go get you some of that all-day breakfast. A grand show lined up for you today. In a little bit, you're going to hear from Matt Forte, late of the Chicago Bears and now a New York Jet, and Chris Harris Jr. with some thoughts about the makeup of the 2016 Broncos. Both visited us in Studio 66 recently, but main event is here. I've been promising it for some time, and at long last, look who it is, the internets. Big Cat from Barstool Sports. What's the poop, fella? How are you?
So I'm on the same show as Matt Forte?
That's correct, yes.
That's an honor.
I'm blessed. In common with Forte. I want to dig in on that a little bit. You're both moving from Chicago to New York City, but of course, Big Cat from Barstool Sports really needs no introduction among anybody who traffics the internet these days. I say this, and I mean it, and I'm pretty good at, like, Babe Ruth in your Wrigley Field in the, which World Series was that, 32, 27, whichever it was when he called his shot, whichever one it was. The thing that I have a knack of doing is calling who's going to be a big star, and I'm a little late on this one, to be fair. But you, Barstool Big, a Big Cat, are going to rule, I feel, sports media already, or well on the way to doing that. But in the next 3 years, I think you're going to be the biggest thing in all of sports media.
Now, did you see the news yesterday that there was 400 pounds of hot dogs that got recalled because of Listeria or something?
So I did see that.
Do you want to stand by that? Do you think I'm going to be around on this earth in 3 years?
I do fear that the only thing that can undermine you is you eating yourself slowly to death. But that notwithstanding, go check out one of the great podcasts out there, not just for sports, but pardon my take. Big Cat and also PFT Commenter, another one of the very funniest guys on Twitter right now and beyond. Go check it out. The last podcast I just listened to on my way in, because I'm a pro's pro, Big Cat, and I did my homework. Check it out. I consider you to be, and not just because you're in Chicago, my experience has been, as I've gone around Football America, people, like the random people from everywhere seem to love you, but then I've never met anybody in the sports media who's more beloved by the athletes themselves. You're sort of like Ferris Bueller in that regard. Everybody seems to like you.
America's guest. Yeah, it's funny, you know, through the years that we've been doing this, the athletes have definitely, we're kind of outside traditional media, so we're not the guys asking them questions in the locker room. We're not trying to get the quote that might jam them up later on. So I think people appreciate that, or the athletes appreciate that, and they know that we're mostly just trying to make people laugh.
Yeah, but they love you, man. I'm telling you, every guy I meet, I say, oh, I see you follow Big Cat. And they say, oh, that guy's the greatest. He's the funniest guy there is. So, all right, we're into the Andy Reid hurry up once again, and not really hurrying at all. But let's jump into it as best we can and start off with this, Big Cat. As you know, it's election season, the conventions and all that. Give me the best possible presidential ticket you can put together here and now, comprised solely of Chicago athletes.
Whew. Now my dog's going to be on this show as well, Stella. She's on every show with me. I'm torn. I want to go Jake Arrieta, but I think Jonathan Toews would probably be the best choice in terms of president.
That seems right.
Even though he's Canadian. I'm sorry about the dog.
I just spoke out against dogs, by the way, and a lot of people are getting on me, Big Cat.
I apologize to the dog. She's on every show.
Listen, my beef with dogs is this. It's not the dogs themselves, and dog owners are now getting cross with me and accusing me of hating dogs or pets. It's not that I don't like pets. I question what kind of a human being, listen, no offense to you, but, you know, the human existence is marked by death. Death is all around us. Why then go out of your way to bring another relationship into your life? This one, by definition, you hope dies before you do. You know, isn't that weird?
There's an old saying, and I'm going to screw it up, but it's basically the only thing worse than, you know, going through a dog's death is to never have that companionship at all. And so that's how I view it. You are now a psycho in my eyes, to think that, oh, I'm not going to own a dog. But back to your initial questions.
Yes.
Ever since Stella joined the podcast, Jonathan Toews, are we saying he's in or out because he's Canadian?
No, I'm going to allow it. I'm going to allow
it. Okay, you're going to allow it. I actually am going to go Jake Arrieta, president, Jonathan Toews, vice president.
Why so? Why Arrieta getting the top of the bill there?
Well, yeah, now we knew we were going to get to this because I know that Pittsburgh people really, really hate Jake Arrieta. I think he has that steely, you know, calm reserve. He can go unfazed. He's a man that knows what he wants, and he goes out and gets it. And then Jonathan Toews is a great leader. He's just a great, you know, if you want your vice president to be a heartbeat away, I don't think anyone's going to be upset with Jonathan Toews being a heartbeat away from the presidency.
I at least like the choice of 19. I'm going to cheat and go all time. I don't think you can possibly beat, at the head of the ticket, Mario Lemieux, French-Canadian. I'm going to allow Toews. I'm going Lemieux. 66, of course. Not just a great player, but now in post-career, look at what he's done. You know, he's a champion. He's a great leader. You know, you see.
Where is the all-time NHL players? You put him as number one?
I have him at number one, and that's right. And you're a younger fella, and I gather that you would advocate for the so-called great one, right?
Yeah, I mean – I appreciate you being clearly biased.
No, it's not bias. Go ahead.
But yeah, I think that's crazy. And then Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane are going to end up being better winners than Mario Lemieux, right?
I don't know. Are they?
I mean, I would say so.
66 has his name on the cup four times over. Now we shall see what happens with Toews and.
Well, that's
Kane.
A good over under. Yeah, I would. If you had to bet right now, what would you say? If you had to bet right now, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, how many more cups are they going to get?
I don't know. Let's see what Kid Crosby and Geno Malkin have to say about it before it's all said and done. That's what we need. For the sport of hockey, what we really
yes.
need is for them to construct it so that those two teams finally play one another. Oh, and also my vice president, also not born an American, but performed as a great human being, Roberto Clemente. Beat that, Big Cat, already. Pittsburgh wins. I defy any city to cobble together a better presidential ticket than Lemieux and Clemente. We can argue 66 versus Gretzky another time, but be forewarned, one, it will take 7 hours, and two, I will win in the end.
Well, I didn't know we were doing all time, because obviously if I wanted Michael Jeffrey Jordan to be the president, I think we'd all vote for him right now, and he would rule the
world.
Would
you? So. Would you? Yeah. Have you seen him when he's in charge? You've seen his post-playing career, right?
Listen, everyone got blinded by Adam Morrison. We can agree on that, right?
All right, touche, yeah. Next up, let's do this. Here's something that would make the sports world a better place. Is if you weren't just a GM of a team, but if you were a GM for all the teams in your city. Here and now, let's do that. You have the advantage of having more pieces because you have two baseball teams, plus you also have an NBA team. But nevertheless, let's get the ball rolling here. Let's make a cross-town trade that benefits both our sports towns. And I would like Anthony Rizzo to take over first base for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm willing to dangle Phil Kessel, who very well may have deserved the playoff MVP over Sidney Crosby. How say you?
I wouldn't give up Anthony Rizzo for just about anything. So, and really, I would want a starting pitcher. So I mean, I would take Gerrit Cole, but he was the one who bashed the Cubs this year and said they weren't the best team in baseball, even though I think the Cubs are like 9-1 against the Pirates this year. So that was a weird, weird statement for him to make. I'm trying to think. I've always been a Big Ben guy. I've always thought Big Ben is underrated, even though he has two Super Bowls. It's hard to be underrated with two Super Bowls. But if I had to pick one guy to take me on a fourth quarter drive, I think it's Big Ben. So I would do, I'm not going to give you Anthony Rizzo.
You're not going to you wouldn't give Anthony Rizzo in exchange for Big Ben.
I'll give you Jorge Soler for Big Ben.
No, I'm going to see. Now you're being silly, and that now you know you're going to comport yourself.
I have to start. I just moved the measuring sticks on the negotiation, and now you're going to say, okay, well, how about Javi Baez for Big Ben? And I'll be like, okay, I'll do that.
Well played. I can see I'm going head to head with a cagey fella. Next up, you just competed around the July 4th holiday in the big wiener eating competition. Your eating deeds are renowned across the land. Weigh in on this: Chicago or New York wieners?
The Chicago dog. Listen, I am not a guy. You see me. I'm not a light guy. I like to eat. People who judge other people and what they eat, I'm never going for that. But I do think there's a fundamental problem with putting ketchup on a hot dog. It ruins the taste. It overpowers the taste. Chicago dogs, they know how to do it. You get a little sport pepper. You get a little celery, a little relish, mustard. There's nothing better. Sport if you want to do pizza, that's fine. Chicago thin crust is actually better than any other pizza. And that's a hot take for you. But in terms of hot dogs, it's Chicago over New York all day.
I hear Chicagoans advocate for the thin crust pie that is made within those city limits. It's fine. I had plenty of that. I can't even think of the name of the joint I used to always go to on Halsted there that was really good. But anyway, it's fine. But the Chicago wiener, I mean, it's got a tomato slice on it, man.
Delicious. You got to eat a salad somehow, right?
Ugh, it's just the worst. My concern, though, is, and in fact, I let you know this in advance, and I saw you didn't take my advice, is I think to really get in the head of your foes, if you would have, this would have made you a winner before the thing even started. If you said, before we begin this hot dog eating contest, a side of fries, please. Do you know how that would, like that, I'm not just here to be a remorseless eating machine. I'm here to eat for pleasure.
They did not really appreciate my presence. They thought that I was making a joke about their livelihood. So I wasn't in the best spot. I don't even know if I've told this. We basically took a bus, a limo bus. So you know those limo buses where if it's packed, you're basically sitting across from someone, 5 feet across, your knees are touching.
Yeah.
We took an hour-long limo bus. It was just myself and then all the competitive eaters. And it was a little awkward. There was just not a lot of conversation going on. Everyone's like, who is this guy? Why is he here? This is our biggest day. I mean, it would be akin to sitting next to Cam Newton before Super Bowl 50 and just being like, hey, I'm going to play left guard for you today. Is that a problem?
Yeah, they have. That's the thing of these little fringy competitions. You think that they're going to laugh with you and then you realize, oh, no. The PETA people got you nevertheless. Here's the thing. This is another thing that needs modified. Like I say, with the with ordering the side of fries, isn't it really akin to, I guess, like, NASCAR became popular initially because the cars looked like the cars that people drove, and so it was relatable to them. And in the same way that when soccer goes to penalty kicks, and it all just even a shootout in the NHL games. It kind of bastardizes the sport. Taking out a bunless wiener and slurping it down, that really gets away from the essence of eating, right? Shouldn't it be how much can you eat when you get a proper plate of food?
It's absolutely a fair point. It's a point I agree with, because when I did the competition, about 30 seconds into it, you just have soggy mush in your mouth. Mm. That's it. It's not, like you said, it's not eating. What we need is a eating competition where we go, it's a backyard, barbecue setting, and it's just how many hot dogs can you eat in like 5 hours? I'm pretty sure I could beat anyone outside of Joey Chestnut in that competition where it's, when you go to a barbecue in the summer and you maybe have like a couple dogs when you get there, then you have a hamburger, then you have and then you wake up like 4 hours later, like, yeah, I've had, eight hot dogs and three hamburgers and a couple brats, and I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. Eating for pleasure has to be a part of the equation here, and these people, I resent them for bastardizing one of my great passions in life, which is eating food, and it is yours. All right, start the show! Yes, hi and hello once again, and welcome to the DDFP presented by McDonald's. I'm happy to tell you, don't be tripped up by that big cat. The hurry up is not a hurry up at all.
Listen, my brain can't understand anything that's going on. I'm looking at a delayed picture of myself. It's like when the idiots, when you show them on the Jumbotron and they keep looking up at the Jumbotron instead of the camera. That's what's going on right now. You should have warned me that you need to be a little bit smarter than a guy like me to do this show and look at the right spot.
Well, you see the Yabo t-shirt there, invoked by Scott Van Pelt and others. Like I say, one of the real, one of the, really one of the more beloved guys, it seems. No matter what, when his name is invoked, people say, I love that guy. Big Cat from Barstool Sports joining us once again. Make sure you go and download the show. Pardon My Take. On iTunes. And while you're at it, why don't you stop over and do the Dave Dameshek football program while you're at it. Like I say, presented by McDonald's. And I'm pleased to say that, you know, my walk matches my talk. Yesterday, I took the kids to Malibu to the beach to frolic in the sea, and hence the bronzy glow I have about me. While we were on our way up there, they were hungry, and so we stopped over at McDonald's. I had not one but two Egg McMuffins, and they were absolutely delicious. And I got a hash brown, as always, served in its own little paper sleeping bag, which makes it extra classy to eat. So, all right, let's jump into it here with a little bit more Bears talk. And specifically, we met Matt Forte, or we talked with him once again a couple of days ago. We'll have that for you in just a bit. We talked about the move from the Bears to the Jets. And as I say, and as you can see the boxes there, Big Cat is also making that move. So, too, are Derrick Rose and Joe Noah. What gives with all the Chicago athletes moving to Manhattan now?
Maybe Brandon Marshall started the trend, but it's been a trend. You have Starlin Castro as well. It's going to be weird. I hopefully will get to New York and get to live the first 6 months as being an expert in all these guys and sound like the smartest guy at the bar when I tell them about Derrick Rose. Oh, the Derrick Rose usually does this, or Matt Forte is good for this. So I'm relying on that to get me through at least a half a year.
Are you going to root for, is there a moral conundrum? I think it's one that you have to address, at least with the man in the mirror, the rooting for the New York Knicks. After all, Rose and Noah, the two, I would say, probably the two big stars of the mini glory days that you had a few years ago.
It's tough because I'm not going to be rooting for the Knicks, but it is tough because I do really, really like Joakim Noah. He was a consummate pro. He had a connection with the Chicago fan base, unlike any other, for a guy who wasn't from Chicago originally. Now, Derrick Rose, similar, but he's a Chicago guy. And so I think it plays a little more to always root for Derrick Rose, and I will be hoping he has success. But if the Knicks and the Bulls are playing, obviously I'm going for the Bulls. But I want both guys to succeed. They left Chicago on good terms. Derrick Rose obviously got traded, so he didn't. I think that was a little blindside for him. But in terms of guys leaving a city, you know, there's that feeling. Like Brandon Marshall, I don't really root for him. That ended poorly. Matt Forte, I'm going to root for him because that, you know, he was also he gave the Bears everything he had. And then Starlin, I still root for Starlin. So, yeah, it's always an interesting feeling when a guy leaves town, especially now that I'm following them to New York.
You could do like that could be like, remember the first scene in Harry Met Sally? They drive from Chicago to New York City when they move together. Maybe you and Forte could do the same thing.
I mean,
that'd be nice.
If he's willing to do it, I think I could drive cross country with Matt Forte if he's down.
Forte Met Caddy.
Yeah.
Something like that. We'll work on the title for that. But, yeah, that'd be – or you get a big bus with the NBA guys and everything. That'd be a good – that'd be a fun road trip. Yeah, you and PFT commenter made your little Winnebago tour across the Iron Belt. That was great stuff as well. But I just heard on the most recent episode, you guys were talking about the Mount Rushmore of excuses, and you left off the granddaddy of them all. You came up with some good ones. Let everybody know what were a few of the examples that were floating.
So my excuses were a lot of times I will say my phone just doesn't work or something's wrong with my phone, which doesn't make sense because you know that, you know, in 2016, phone technology is out of this world.
I know. And yet I use it all the time myself and get away with it more often than not.
Right. To tell someone, my phone has been acting weird. You're basically saying I'm lying to your face, but go ahead and try to call me on it. And then I also had the excuse of being fat, which works both ways. I can turn down food if it's something I don't want to eat, or if I'm eating too much and people are like, look at that guy. It's like, well, I'm fat. My blood sugar's low. And, or sometimes I'll be at the bar and I'll be like, you know what? I really want to go home. I'm fat. I can't drink like I used to drink. My metabolism's not doing so well. So I'm going to go home and go to sleep. So fat gets you out of a lot of things.
I agree with you, and both of those are great, but I was surprised that no one brought up the granddaddy, like I say, death. death. Somebody died. I mean, okay. Nobody wants to dig in on that.
But then you're tempting. You're poking death, and you're saying,
right.
You know, if you go with I have a family member that died, and then they die, don't you feel bad?
I hear you, and that is a real issue that you're going to have to confront. I've confronted that my own morality, and I'm okay with it. As it turns out, I did it once in college. In fact,
I think what you have to do is just know specifics. You just say I have to be at a funeral. That way, it's just. It's out there. You know, it could be anyone. It could be a random guy. You're just going to a funeral. You don't say, oh, yeah, my aunt died or, you know, you know, my brother. So just say funeral. I'm at a funeral.
Yeah, maybe that is a little bit softer. Yeah, you could be right about that. And by the way, Death did win a takey and in the your first annual or the inaugural takeys won an award. You interviewed him. Maybe ask him about this, see where he comes down on this important.
We're going to interview. So, yeah, so people who aren't familiar with the Pardon My Take show, we went and we interviewed a, I don't even know what you call them. She had a seer. And we spoke with Death. And we're going to go back and speak with, we'll check in with Death every few months. But apparently Tommy Lasorda is close, but we might have saved his life when we spoke with the seer and Death.
It's good to have fun, but it's also good to do important stuff, and that's what you're
right.
Doing.
So, right. Has anyone else saved Tommy Lasorda's life?
I think we all know the answer to that. all right. So, Black Tie Behind the Glass there tells me also the guy who actually led the Chicago to New York charge is Phil Jackson, although he made a detour in Los Angeles. Black Tie also let us know that that was you, Black Tie, right, who pointed out Derrick Rose, as it stands now, is going to be the first NBA MVP to not go to the Hall of Fame. That's an interesting note, right?
Did he go through all of the MVPs?
Everybody who is not yet in the Hall of Fame, guys like Tim Duncan and Kobe and guys like that, are going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I still don't understand. Do you understand who gets invited to the NBA Hall of Fame or the basketball? Because it's basketball, mind you. So couldn't he go as like one of the best high school basketball players of all time?
Yeah, it's a weird. Yeah, I suppose. And Halls of Fame in general have gotten too pious. Everybody's up on Mount Pius weighing in. The weirdest aspect of all things with Hall of Fame is this new standard that's been applied by human beings, which is I don't know when it started to. Oh, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. He's just not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes, there's always levels of the Hall of Fame. You got to point that out because nothing. And it's also like the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, how there's no unanimous. No one has ever been voted in unanimously because, you know, old crotchety white guys around America just can't let Greg Maddux. No one can say unanimously that Greg Maddux had a great career.
Yeah.
It's just impossible for them to say that. But I think Derrick Rose is still going to the Hall of Fame.
All right. Fingers crossed for your sake. Hines Ward and I kibitzed about that on his podcast this week. I also paid a visit to old pal Adam Carolla on the Adam and Dr. Drew show. Look both of those shows up on iTunes. Both were good times. In fact, I did two shows with Carolla filling in for Dr. Drew. My father was a doctor, so close enough with the advice I hand it out there. Now let's talk about the Chicago Bears. And you're a Jay Cutler guy, huh? You continue to – you think in his 33rd year on the Big Blue Marble, this is the time he finally turns the corner?
Well, there's Jay Cutler it varies. I think that I'm a Jay Cutler guy in the fact that I do think he is still a top 15 quarterback. And when people say, oh, you can't win with Jay Cutler, so give me another option. Give me another guy's name. Give me a guy available that the Bears can get that is better than Jay Cutler because he's not out there. He doesn't exist. So, yes, I am a Jay Cutler guy.
Well, you're going to have to throw in Jay. If we actually end up giving you Roethlisberger from Pittsburgh, Jay is going to have to be a throw in the deal. Baez and Cutty.
Okay.
Something
Solaire.
Like that.
Solaire and Cutler.
Oh, yeah, we're going with Solaire. That's right. All right, so let's dig in with number six and company. Let's see if we can figure out exactly what your Chicago Bears are going to do in 2016. Where are you going to watch them, by the way? Are you going to go to a bar or are you going to watch them from your couch?
I'm going to try to get the couch going, but if I have to, it will be, there's a couple, I've started to search the Chicago bars in New York, so we'll have to go that
will
way.
Will you be upset if the Bears or Cubs, I think I know the answer with the Cubs because you'll just fly back for the postseason, but what if the Bears ran the table this year and won the Super Bowl in your first year away from Chicago? Would that hurt your feelings?
It absolutely would.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, especially because the Cubs, obviously, the first, like it happened 2 years ago, but the first Cubs World Series in this century will be the biggest moment, but it's still a Bears town. And when the Bears are good, they run the town. People still want to talk about them more than any other sports team. Blackhawks have had unprecedented success, but it's still a Bears town. So, yeah, it would hurt me. This schedule thing always makes me nervous because I famously had the Bears at like 11-5 for the second Trestman year. I went through it and I said at bare minimum they go 11-5. So this is going to be scary for me, but I'm ready to do it.
I think that was the year that I predicted before the season that Jay Cutler would be the NFL MVP. So
yes.
So that worked out
yes.
as well for me too. All right, let's see if I have correctly assessed the Steelers' final record. Four straight seasons. Call me
really?
Biased all you want. Four straight years, I have nailed what the Steelers' final record's going to be. Pretty
what are
good.
You having this year?
I haven't figured it out yet. I haven't gotten
okay.
to that. Let's do the Bears now at the Houston Texans. Ooh, tough one to start the year off.
That's a win.
Is it? All right.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You really believe in Brock Osweiler?
He is obviously looms as a major issue there, but your pal J.J. Watt bearing down on Cuddy and
company. The Bears offensive line is going to be very good this year. The linebacker is going to be very good. I think their defense is going to be a lot better than people realize. And if you look at this schedule, we can go game by game, but they're playing the weakest schedule because they finished obviously last in the NFC North. And I know you never know who's going to have a down year. You never know injuries. But I'm ultimately putting the Bears at 9-7.
Don't a spoiler alert, Big
oh,
Cat.
Oh, spoiler, spoiler.
We're going through
spoiler.
It. That's just
okay,
one.
Right,
we
right.
don't even
right.
know yet. Let's see
right.
if you land at
right.
9-7 now.
Right.
Home with the Eagles
to win too.
All right, I agree with that one. Now you're traveling down to Dallas. This is
that's going
to
be a loss.
That's a loss with against Romo. So, Romo's still healthy at that point in the season. Now you host the Detroit Lions, who you must
Lions.
Sweep. You got to sweep them if you have any shot.
The Bears cannot beat the Lions. They can never do it. It's crazy. And with all that said, they're going to beat the Lions.
All right, there you go. Now you're 3-1. Good for you. At the Colts.
Get this. That's probably going to be a loss.
All right. Now we have the Jacksonville Jaguars. America, very excited about this team. I've gotten a lot of stuff over the last week from Jags fans because I pointed out that I heard from somebody who would know that Blake Bortles, that there was some concern about his grasp of the playbook at the end of last year. Somehow this has turned into me being a villain who hates the Jaguars and Blake Bortles.
Now, when you said that, did you know that he was in a Wikipedia club with me?
I kind of did. Which I had okay. not, but that's maybe, again, good to be fun, but also more important to be important, and maybe you're helping Blake Bortles grasp, you know, books
I'm just saying.
Of all kinds.
Guys in Wikipedia, there are no dumb people in my Wikipedia club. There are
that's true.
There are savvy corner cutters who realize books are for nerds. We can still learn. We just got to use Wikipedia.
I like that. I like that. All right. Well, how will you fare when the Jaguars visit you?
That's going to be a win. I'm hoping for cold because as we also found out, Blake Bortles has only seen snow once. So hoping for some bear weather, some early bear weather in week 6.
October 16th. Good luck. At the Green Bay Packers.
That's going to be a loss.
All right.
I'm not that crazy.
All right, good. Now we're getting reasonable here. Minnesota Vikings pay you a visit the following week, and it's a Sunday night affair.
No, it's a Monday night, and it's Halloween.
Ooh,
yep.
A Monday night treat.
I have that circled. I have that circled to get back to Chicago for this dress up Halloween night.
Awesome.
I'm going to say that's a win.
Yeah, that's got to be a win. Oh, that's a gay time. I've had one of the greatest nights of my life, a Halloween night in Chicago. I won't get into details, but it was tremendous. Now you travel down to Tampa Bay after the bye week.
Ooh. What am I at right now?
I don't want to tell you because I want to see if you can nail your 9-7 prediction.
You have tricked You have tricked my brain. Because
you tricked your own brain, friend.
I am forever the optimist. I will always have the, you know, the Bears doing better than they will. I'm going to throw in a loss here. I'm going to keep myself honest. I'll throw in one loss.
Now you have to face Eli and Odell.
I'll be at this game in New York. Yep. Already got the plans. Already got the boys coming out. So I'll say this is a loss as well. We hit the skids a little bit for two games. Yeah,
it seemed to be leading to, by virtue of you having your friends in town for the game, that it was going to be a win. But no, you went loss there. Now you play the Titans at home. I'm going to give you a win on that one. Now you're putting a winning streak together because the Niners are next, and you're going to beat them too.
Even though we lost to Blaine Gabbert at home last year. But, yes, I like this as a win as well.
All right, now you're at Detroit.
That's going to be a loss.
Okay. Now you host the Packers coming down the home stretch.
That's going to be a win.
All right, I want to count up and see how close you are to a playoff spot. Oh, yeah, right, now you host. You host DC. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, you're pretty close.
6 losses.
Yep, you're going to do it. As long as you split here, you're 9-7 on the.
And I actually do think that that's. I mean, I think the Bears will beat the Redskins at home, and they're going to lose on New Year's Day in Minnesota.
9-7. All right, not too bad. Is that a play? Is that good enough for the playoffs in the NFC?
It's. I've said it a million times. All I'm rooting for, all I need for this Bears season, because it's obviously a rebuild and everything. You know, you went from the disaster of the Treshen years. I want in late December for the graphic to come up and it says Bears in the hunt. And as long as we're in the hunt, we're in that picture. You know, you don't have to be in the playoffs, but just one of those side columns in the hunt. They'll be in the hunt. I don't know if 9-7 will do it, but it will be in the hunt.
I feel a little sad for you with that. That's
an important Week 17 game.
I know.
Fantastic.
I know, but I feel I really my heart does go out to people who root for like the Bengals and the Jets and the because this is what you root for. I was born into it. It's not like it's not a virtue of mine. I happen to be born into a team that was great, but I can't help but feel sad for people who don't have that same thing. But you have.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to get to that wild card game this year and lose? It's kind of a thing. They're going to rename it the Pirates wild card game soon.
I know. It's true. As long as they throw an ace out there against us. Yeah, it's getting to be an ugly thing. Fortunately, I don't think the Pirates are even going to get there. Although Clayton Kershaw now is looking, who knows what's going to go on. If he has back surgery, so you take them out of the equation, then you're talking about the Mets and, you know, I mean, I could see the Bucks sneak. The Cards is who obviously they have to overcome.
Right.
And that the worst thing ever was last year being what Phil Mickelson was in the British Open last week, which was playing really well but just still not good enough. The NL Central in 2015, the three best teams in baseball, two of whom have to play one another in 9 innings. There was no justice in that.
Oh, I thought it was totally fair.
Yeah, it was terrific. Who would you rather drive across the country with, Darren Revelle or Stephen A. Smith?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd probably go with Revelle. I don't think Revelle, I could just, you know, we could probably put him in the trunk. Stephen A. Smith, he would just be nonstop talking. You wouldn't need the radio, that's for sure.
Who would you rather drive across the country with? Or, you know what? Let's change that. Who would be the better president, J.J. Watt or LeBron James?
This is just mean. You know me too well. You're just pitting guys that I hate against each other. I'd have to go with LeBron. LeBron at least is, you know, a businessman. J.J. Watt is just the worst.
But you want J.J. Watt on your show. Take a listen in case you've forgotten this.
Hey, JJ, I'm going to buy your shoes, and I'm a huge NFL fan, so I basically pay your salary, and as your boss, you should go on Pardon My Take.
That's true.
Was I wrong?
No, I think you're spot on with that. Yeah, I mean, we hear a lot of that talk that we are the real owners of the NFL and of sports, and yet it doesn't seem to be met with the level of respect that you would think that would come along with that, like getting JJ Watt on your show whenever you desire.
I'm his boss.
I want to give you
be able to tell him.
You're right, but you know what? That may not be enough for him. You might have to give him a gift. I got to talk to J.J. Watt back at the Super Bowl because I gave him a nice gift. Take a listen and look at this. He's one of the nicest fellas around, and that's why, before you go in there, JJ, what I want you to have this.
No.
That's a look at that.
Are you kidding?
Econo. Econo
you don't
size.
Know how much I need this.
I know.
This is fantastic. So guys, it hits me right in the heart.
You deserve it.
This is better than any award I'm going to take home in the history of the game.
If you're on Hard Knocks next August, forget that giant tire thing.
Yeah,
you just flip this thing.
Just flip this thing.
All right.
This will be gone by the end of the night, so.
Look,
that was disgusting. You could have given him anything, and he would have had the exact same reaction.
No, he said he was going to use all 24 rolls by the end of the night. That shows he's a human being.
Hey, JJ, here's a jar of Zika mosquitoes, and he would have been like, oh, this is the best gift I've ever gotten. I love you. Thank you so much. It's fake. You know it.
Someone sounds jealous, apparently.
I'm not jealous. I'm his boss.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Big Cat is, like I say, really one of the best guys around. Like I say, will rule the sports media. Barstool Sports now really blowing up in New York City. That's what brought this move on for you guys. Really, real quick before I let you go here, because I'm fascinated by it. I guess I should know the answer to this. If I had done my homework, I would. How did you wind up doing all this? How did you wind up being in touch with every athlete out there? Every funny athlete, at least, is aware of you. And, you know, now you're owned by Peter Chernin, or he's seen fit to, you know, throw a lot of loot into Barstool Sports and everything else. It's fascinating. I think it's the way – I think all these people have spent all the money to get, you know, spent $7 million to get people to move across the country to do debate shows are – that model is going to be shown to be antiquated, and your way is the right way going forward.
And more than anything, it's just be yourself. We are guys that are, for the most part, we're just genuine, and we are who we are. We with our faults, I might eat too much, I might gamble too much, but people love seeing those faults and not seeing a polished product at all times. And for the athlete,
you have
part,
a dog.
I have a dog that barks too much. For the athlete part, never ever ask for tickets or anything. I've never asked for that. So that's a key.
That is a good tip. I like that. Yeah. Look at you. You have good books. You know how to read books.
Those haven't been opened ever.
Oh, I see. For show. You're one of those. Put them on the shelf there. Very good. Yeah. Hey, Big Cat, don't be a stranger. Would love to keep yapping with you once your Bears get underway and see how the move is taken hold for you. While you watch there's nothing I have. Chicago Stadium is one of my, I think, is my favorite venue to ever attend. I went to see Lemieux and company win a Stanley Cup. But I think for a sports day experience or for an American experience, waking up and walking over to Wrigley about 90 minutes before the game, I don't know that there's a better sports experience out there. Have you ever had one?
The greatest game in all of sports is the Friday afternoon Cubs game at Wrigley. Pick July, August, whatever, a beautiful day. It's stolen time. You get there, you get up to Wrigleyville at like 11:30. You crack over the first beer. You go to the game. Game ends at 4:30, and you walk out of the stadium, and then you see all the poor saps getting off the train from work. They've been working the whole time. Weekend hasn't even started, and you've already been drinking for about 6 hours.
Boy, I always favored the Saturday game, but you make a pretty compelling case with the schnooks getting off the train. That is, that is pretty good. Yeah, getting a head start on the thing. Yeah, boy, I go to – there are different bars you could go to in advance. Where do you like? Do you like the bleacher bar?
So I usually go to Vines, and I shouldn't give this away, but I guess since I'm moving, it doesn't matter. Vines has and Vines is on Clark. It's right next to Cubby Bear. Vines has an upstairs patio that's probably only capacity is about 40 people. It's a nice little private area. I shouldn't have given that secret away. You can bleep that out.
Yeah, let's bleep that out. And I always liked going straight west to the Ginger Man and then working my way south.
It's changing. When you go back next time, it's going to be totally different. They're building a hotel.
Nah.
The Cubs have a new office up there. They're taking down a bunch of bars. That 7-Eleven that everyone went into to get, you know, maybe their cigarettes or whatever before, maybe a nip. That's gone. So it's sad to see it change, but it also be nice when the Cubs can afford to win a World Series, you know?
Well, I hope, but what's sad for Chicago is that you're moving away, but I trust you'll get back there in October to watch them. And for your sake, assuming the Buccos aren't in there, but if Anthony Rizzo is on the Pirates by then the Pirates might have a better chance of making it to the postseason. But I'm glad you'll get back there. It seems inevitable that your boys are going to be playing in October, and I hope they get it done for you. Big Cat, good luck with the move. Make sure you check out the podcast. Pardon My Take with the great PFT commenter, no two funnier guys, doing a show talking about sports or just about anything else out there. Thanks for the time, pal.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
We went way past the 20-minute mark that I promised him just before we started. But now let's talk to another guy, the aforementioned Matt Forte, who's also moving from Chicago to the New York tri-state area. Matt Forte.
Dave, da 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 don't Dave.
This is very exciting, and this is really one of the great benefits of working at the NFL. You really never know who you're going to bump into. Matt Forte is walking down the hall, and we said, hey, can you jump into 66? Kibitz with us for a bit, and so he has. Matt Forte, how's it going, fella?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good. You look fit to me, more fit than you were the last time I saw you. Am I right?
Yeah, of course.
You lightened up.
I've been training, you know, going into training camp, and I think the last time you saw me was probably around the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I would guess so. Yeah, you. I mean, you legitimately look. So you lost the weight, and your good friend Maurice Jones-Drew found it.
Well, he took it from me and a lot of other people and put it on himself.
Get him on Skype. He needs to be a part of this to defend himself. Matt Forte, and also last we spoke, you were a member of the Chicago Bears football team. If you haven't heard, you're now on the Jets. How does that make you feel? You excited about 2016? As we sit here, we don't know even who really the quarterback's going
to
be.
Yeah, I'm excited. Excited to be there. A new place for me and, you know, an ability to and a chance to continue, you know, what I've done so far in the league. And so I'm excited about that. I love the team, and it's been fun, you know, getting to know everybody there in the new locker room and stuff. You know, you said, you know, you don't have a quarterback set yet, but it's coming. Everything's going to work out.
No jive. No jive, Forte. If you knew that it was going to be as crazy as it was around the quarterback, would that have affected anything? Because I assume when you signed, the assumption was, well, it's going to be for Fitzpatrick is going to wind up back there. Would that have affected your decision?
Not really as much as it already was, you know, because – you know, going into it, I was just looking at the factors. You know, Brandon was, you know, talking in my ear and that mm-hmm. type of stuff. But the main factors I was looking into it was what kind of team, you know, as a whole it was, not just one person. You know, also the facility and the training room and that type of stuff. And so Brandon was telling me how great the training room was and how to keep you healthy. And at this point in my career, that's of the utmost importance, is being healthy out there. And so it was great, you know, thinking about all those factors that go into it, but, you know, not just one major factor, like, you know, the quarterback is going to kill mm-hmm. your decision-making.
Do you, I've talked to Ben Roethlisberger, and to some degree, pro athletes seem to, one of my things that makes my head spin is when you hear teams talk about no one outside this locker room believed in us. Well, certainly the people that showed up at the stadium to cheer for you aren't masochists. They thought you might win. But anyway, on an individual basis, I've talked to Roethlisberger, who's achieved some things, and you can definitely tell he has a chip on his shoulder about sort of the overall lack of respect. I've gotten that sense from you over the years that you're sort of like, hey, when you're listing running backs, how come the name Forte ain't being mentioned in the top two or three? How say you, true or false?
I mean, yeah, quietly. I don't really like to speak out on that type of stuff because, I mean, that's kind of arrogant to be able to do that. I let, you know, everybody, you know, there's people who talk trash and there's people who let their play speak for them. So I'm one of those guys who let their play, you know, speak for them. So I don't want to be, yeah, and the guy who's outspoken about or whining about how I'm ranked, you know, by others' opinion. You know, I already know what kind of player I am. I know what kind of running back I am. I know what kind of person I am. So that doesn't affect me.
If you can only have one, a gold jacket or a Lombardi trophy, which would you get?
I would definitely say a Lombardi trophy.
Hmm.
you know, you can still be a great player and not have a great a gold jacket. You know, there's a lot of great players that haven't gotten that gold jacket yet, but there's a lot of people with gold jackets that will never be able to get that Lombardi trophy.
I go back and forth on this myself, which I would prefer. I think I would go your way because you'll be a hero. Will you be a hero in the town where you perform your great deeds?
Yeah.
But then you're by yourself if it's the gold jacket. You can go out on the town if you and Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker and everybody else gets a gold jacket. You'll be heroes in Manhattan forever. And those guys can go out on the town with you, and you'll all be patted on the back for your accomplishments.
Yeah, you know, I'm more the you know, the team guy, because that, you know, Lombardi Trophy takes everybody. It's a team goal, and everybody gets a piece of that. You know, when you you do the gold jacket, it's more about you, you know, the person. Even though the team helped, somebody had to block, somebody had to throw the ball to you, and do all that stuff. So it's more kind of focused on you, that person. I'm the guy that wants to point the shine the light on everybody else because it was a team effort.
Mm-hmm. And, well, so as far as the pursuit of that goes, you may have heard that the New England Patriots have ruled that division for quite some time now. Does that factor in at all when you're making your decision? Well, I am going to be in a division with Tom Brady, and they tend to win that thing quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that, you know, with my decision making as well, and you know, they've been very good for a long time, and so to want to be the best and to be the best, you got to beat the best, and they've been really good and for a long time, and so we got to play against them, and I'm always up to the challenge of that type of stuff.
You know what you should have done? Pot Roast Knighton is walking around these hallways too today. You should have gone up to him and give him a little wiggle, intimidate him, plant the seed. Like, you're gonna see that twice this fall, you know? Then he'd be like, oh no, God. Like, he'd be off his game before he even got out there that day.
Yeah, the funny part, I was in the you know, the makeup room, you know, getting shaped up in my beard and stuff, and I think I saw him, but he didn't say anything to me. But I was doing an interview at the same time too, so I understand.
So the head games have begun in the summertime. Who has the better beard, you or Pot Roast Knighton?
I don't think he has a beard. He has a goatee.
All right.
But my beard is legit, though.
It is. Well, that much is true.
I remember one time Maurice tried to grow a beard, and that was all it was, a memory.
Maurice, how about this? Let's just settle this here and now. NFL running back. You have to choose one. Maurice Jones-Drew or Matt Forte? For your team.
Well,
next 10 years, you get to have one or the other as your tailback on your NFL team for the next decade.
Oh, yeah, of course.
At 21. 21, you both are 21 years old.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about him.
No, not right now.
At 250 pounds, Maurice. No, don't get me wrong. Maurice was a very, very, very good running back. Great running back.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I was in college, you know, coming out and trying to pick an agent and stuff like that, I talked to him about you know, what he thought about it. I got a lot of information, a lot of mentorship from him coming up. And so, great player. I respect and honor everything he's done.
But
I'm going with myself.
I like that. See, you're not – listen, self-praise –
he's a gentleman and a scholar.
Self-praise stinks, but if you don't love yourself, who will, Matt Forte?
Yep.
You know?
To thine own self be true.
I like that. Yeah. Ooh, fancy. What? Who wins a foot race, 50-yard dash, you or Maurice?
Oh, me, definitely.
Is that right? I don't mean right now. I mean in your primes.
Yeah, me.
Really?
Yeah, at the
– better catching the ball out of the backfield, definitely you.
At the combine, he ran a high – basically a 4.4. You know, but when it gets longer, my legs are longer. So yeah, I'm taking 50 yards, 60 yards. You know, I'm taking that all day.
A lot of pro football players have told me, guys who are fast say, oh, yeah, I could beat Usain Bolt in a 40. The reason that he wins is because it's a longer race and his legs are longer.
I don't know about that. Somebody needs to time his 40.
I'd love to know that.
I know, because
Ike and Maurice
you're fast. I mean, it's not like he just walks out of the blocks and then takes off. Usain Bolt's fast now.
I think he would win, and in fact, I'd like to see him play football. Well, the offense for the Jets should be dynamite with you in the fold, really, who's ever a quarterback, because Chan Gailey works wonders with quarterbacks. At every stop along the way, what QB he works with tends to succeed. So I think you're going to be in good shape there. Let's imagine in the fourth quarter, whether it's Fitz or Geno or another one of the kids, let's see how Arnold Schwarzenegger would describe, or let's hear how Schwarzenegger describes the game-winning touchdown against the New England Patriots, scored by Matt Forte. Take it away, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and your analyst on this will be Bane.
Now is not the time for fear.
What are you talking about, Bane? It's fourth down and inches to go. The game is on the line.
They got to score here. This is an important time for them to score.
The Jets hiked the ball. Somebody hands the ball off to Matt Forte. I don't know who it is. I can't even see, you idiot. But he gives him the ball. He jumps over the line and he scores. It's a touchdown. Go Jets. J-E-T-S. Go Jets.
That was a nice little
Everyone
flourish.
Get to the chopper.
That was really good. Let's do it. We did it before at a Super Bowl once, but I want to do it again. Let's do the famous when Carl Weathers sees Schwarzenegger. Do you know the line?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, it's his most famous.
What's the matter, Dylan? See how you got you pushing too many pencils?
I mean, how many NFL football players, nay, how many human beings can do it that well? Very few, and definitely not Maurice Jones-Drew. Matt Forte, I wish you great health, and let's kibitz with you when we have Maurice in the studio so that we can't just take pot shots without him getting a chance to respond. That doesn't. In the meantime, stay healthy, like I say. All the best.
Jacket, green jacket.
Oh, yeah. You want one of those.
What quote is that? What movie?
I don't know. I thought you were just saying you want a green.
You know that movie quote?
What is it?
It's Happy Gilmore.
Say, and I thought we had a nice conversation, and then right at the end, you get me, and then you take a shot into me, and now I feel bad. All right, you know what? I still wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Matt Forte.
I like everybody. Your beard.
Oh, thank you. Right back at you, fella. I love that Forte. He's a great one. Let's make sure we keep in touch with him and see how his New York experience unfolds in 2016. We should get him. In fact, the next time he's on, well, like we say, we got to have him and Maurice, you know? Actually, you know what would be a good game? You know how you see some shows do that? I remember once Carolla had a TV show on Comedy Central, and he had what did they do? They had – Jimmy's ex-girlfriend on – or a girlfriend at the time, and Carol on to see who knew Jimmy best between the two. We should see who knows Maurice the best, Forte or Ike, because that's a love triangle right there. So let's do that. Now let's hear from another good guy who I had a little bit of a Twitter – I didn't have a real rift with him, but I sent a funny little tweet at him, and people liked it, and then it felt like there was heat between us. But we solve all issues, including what the Broncos of 2016 are going to look like with DB Supreme, Chris Harris Jr.
You're listening to Dave Damaschek.
All right, well, look at this. Look who's seated next to me. Is it proof that I don't actually have a rift or any disdain for the Denver Broncos? I don't know. You be the judge. In fact, let's let him be the judge right now. He is a Super Bowl champion. He is one of the great corners from the great secondary. Of those champions, it's Chris Harris Jr. What's happening, man?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure to see you in Mazel Tov on that gigantic thing on your – I'm not going to call it a ring. It's a thing. What is, I mean, that doesn't count as a ring. It's as big as my head is.
Man, it's so heavy on my hand right now. That's why I can only put it on there for about 10 minutes and I slide it off.
That counts as your off-season workout. Yeah. You just like do this like as you're sitting around. Yeah. So all right. There's much to cover here in football terms and in human terms. You've had a big addition to your family, and I want to talk about that real quick. Let's blow through some of the big issues so that we can say, you and me, to everybody out there, we talked about the offseason of the Denver Broncos, and we'll jump into some other stuff here. First of all, Mark Sanchez, nice fella so far?
Yeah, he's brought a good leadership that we needed. Losing Peyton, you got to find – we had to find some new guys that can take the helm as the leadership on the offense, and I feel like he's brought that attitude. He's joining a Super Bowl winning team, so he knows he has to put a tons of work in, and to get up to the same speed as us.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's exactly the thing that stood out, is that he was saying the right things that you would want from your so-called field general and everything else coming off of 18. You would assume that's the major void. It's not like with, not to diminish the Hall of Fame career of Peyton, but 2015 wasn't his greatest passing season ever.
Yeah.
Sanchez has to be the leader more than anything else.
Yeah, we just need him to be smart, man. It's not about him being the hero or taking over those crazy shots or whatever throws that you have to do and forcing anything. I mean, we're fine with him handing the ball off. We're going to have a great offensive line this year. We feel they're way better than they were last year. The running backs, I love Devontae Booker.
Mm.
Love him right now. He looked great during the OTAs, and so I can see him, CJ and Ronnie, man, having tons of carries, man, and us living off the defense too.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked to both those guys in the offseason, CJ and Ronnie, but I love Devontae Booker as well. Watching him at Utah, not too far a move for him from Utah to the Rockies there, closer into Denver. But I think he's going to be dynamite. What about, though, the first round pick, Paxton Lynch, who looks better in terms of first impressions? Paxton Lynch or Brock Osweiler? They cut similar physical figures and same kind of age.
Say Paxton. Yeah. He had better touch on his ball, more actually, I think, than Brock had when he first came in the league. That's one thing I can see that is going to definitely help him. And he's more mobile. He can run. He can do a little bit more moving in the pocket than what Brock could, too.
How was the White House?
Oh, that was an awesome experience, man. Like I was telling a lot of other people that you think the White House is really super huge, but it's not really that big as you think it is.
Yeah, I know. The president doesn't even get paid that much. I forget what I've seen what it is, but it's not as much as what an NFL cornerback makes.
Nah, I can't remember how much they said he was making.
Not as much as you. Did you get that? Did Obama know you? He says he's a sports fan. Did he know you?
No, I don't think so.
Hey, by the way, Chris Harris Jr., go to chrisharrisjr.com. Great cause, underdogs I really love that charity. Anything dealing with kids, and like I say, we do want to talk about kids in a second, but now let's talk about being petulant, and namely Dave was being petulant a couple of months ago during the combine. I don't know if you remember this, Chris Harris, but you tweeted out a little something. The receivers, when they were running their 40 times, were not collectively very fast. And you opined some slow wide receivers coming in the league today, LOL. And then a jerk named Damashek tweets this at you. I'm a Steelers fan. I don't know if that came up yet, but slow wide receiver Antonio Brown had 16 receptions, 189s, and two TDs against you.
I remember this.
LOL. And then a lot of people thought that that was funny or whatever, but you were good-natured about it. That's as I was. I was having fun, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what it's about, man. I mean, he had that one game against me. Probably my worst game in my career, but I was able to bounce back, have it finish the season strong, and you know what I mean? I only gave up one catch in the Super Bowl.
Let's be honest. I mean, I'm certain you would never root for an injury to anybody, but was there a part of you when you heard, like, oh, 84 can't go in the divisional round, were you a little bit like, well, that's not the worst news I've ever heard, that Antonio Brown's not going to be playing?
No, I wanted that challenge. I was definitely –
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I never want to back down from anything. And the game – from that game, I've played – people act like that's my first time playing AB. We've played them. I can't even remember how many times we've played Big Ben since I've been in the league. So we've had tons of matchups, but I definitely want to get payback for that. You definitely always want to redeem yourself after you play a bad game. So I can't wait till we play Steelers again.
Do you feel like – is he the toughest to handle out there that you match up with? And do you and Tlaib and Roby, do you guys sort of discuss during the week like, oh, I want this guy. I want this guy all day kind of thing?
It's kind of – when we played the Steelers, I mean, everybody already knew that I was going to be on them. They're just the way they use him, how they keep him in motion. They put him in the slot, put him outside. So they knew – we kind of already knew what it was going to be. But, I mean, we definitely have those type of discussions depending on what receiver we're facing that week. And it's really me and Talib. And we're the only ones really discussing.
AB number one, though?
Yeah, I would say AB is just because the yards after the catch, man. Mm-hmm. There's nobody in the league that can catch the ball and turn it to 50 so fast and be able to just maneuver everybody with the ball in his hand. So I'll definitely say AB.
Now, I mentioned the human element, and that's what we like to talk about here on DDFP. Like you,
yeah.
I have an infant in my home. Let's see just as far as this goes. This isn't your first one either. So surely, I know you're a fancy NFL football player, but I'm sure you change a diaper here and there, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All right, let's do it right now. Let's do it again. Here we go.
You got diapers on there.
Let's see who can do it. Well, no, you got to take off the dirty one. Let's pretend that this – oh, yeah, ripe. Yeah. Let's go. Let's see. Ready, set, go. Wait. He cheated. Did you see? He started before me. There's no beating Damashek. Ah, Chris Harris. Hit. Ah.
Come on.
No.
Damn.
I almost spiked the baby in anger, and that would have been wrong. That would send the wrong message, and I don't want to do that. I still want to do it, though. I'm not going to do it. You've beaten me again. You beat my Steelers in January, and now you've beaten me in the baby diapering challenge.
Man, I've had tons of practice, man. All newborns.
Can we admit that I beat you in that Twitter head-to-head? But that was a blindside ambush by Damashek.
I think I thought I responded with the ring thing.
You did. That's right. I don't know if we have – you remember. You responded by giving me a row of rings, but then two frogs. What did that mean?
That means you're sipping on, just sipping on whatever.
Oh, that's the Kermit drinking the tea. You know what? Now you've beaten me again. I can't beat Chris Harris, so instead I shall tip my imaginary cap to you. Congratulations to you,
thank you, man.
On the on that gigantic bobble that is on your left hand there. And stay healthy, and best wishes to you in 2016, man.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, and real quick, can we change the uniforms? That's the thing. The Broncos need to go back to, like, the Elway uniform.
I would love to wear those jerseys. I don't know why we haven't wore, like, a throwback for the old throwbacks with the Big D mascot on the helmet. But I think we did the versus Green Bay this year. We were the blue jerseys with the white. So that was kind of our throwback for the year.
We need
the old blue.
Color me uninspired by that. Yeah. Let's look at – I'll even take the brown socks, the vertical stripes with the gold jersey. Those wouldn't be bad either. Anyway, good seeing you, Chris Harris Jr., and congratulations on your new real little one. Yeah. Well, that's that. What did everybody behind the glass? Who did you like best? Give a gold, silver, and medal. It's our gold, silver, and bronze medal to our three guests today.
I go gold, Forte, mm-hmm. and those impressions were great. I go silver, Big Cat. Mm. Thought he was solid in there. And then the bronze will go Forte, but it was close. It was.
Well, you gave Forte both a gold and a bronze. That's how little
I'm sorry, Chris Harris bronze.
Get on him, Broncos fans. He deserves it. He hates the Broncos. You heard it here. He didn't even acknowledge Chris Harris there, Bartlett. Kent Brown.
I'm going to go Big Cat gold for sure. I think that gave us 40 minutes. We thought it would only be 20. He went above and beyond. Silver, I'm going to go Chris Harris. The baby changing was great. Him talking about Osweiler and Paxton Lynch, I thought was really good. And then I would say bronze, Matt Forte. It's a good bronze. He was close to silver, but ultimately I give him the bronze.
Do you, Kent Brown, is a Pittsburgh native behind the glass. What do you think of that idea? Did you like my trade offer? That was pretty good, wasn't it, Anthony Rizzo?
It would help the Pirates short term, but if you look at it for
what if
Steelers
we give him
sense,
Phil Kessel?
If it's only Kessel, trade. I'm in. If you have to give up Roethlisberger, I don't think that would be a good trade for the Steelers.
Silly. Yeah, of course we're not going to give up Roethlisberger. I mean, that's taking a fun idea and just and ruining it by throwing Roethlisberger. I'm not giving Roethlisberger. Don't get crazy, fella.
Kessel for sure. I'm wearing my Penguins Stanley Cup shirt today. It would be disappointing to lose Kessel, but they didn't. If you don't have to give up Crosby or Malkin, I would take that in a second. The Pirates need a first baseman.
Yeah, slugging first baseman, and they get a high-scoring winger there. I like that. Emma VP?
I'm going to have to agree with Kent. This is pretty crazy. Gold for Big Cat. Silver.
The kids, too. They all love Big Cat, don't they? Do you guys – you're the millennials.
Yeah, we're the millennials.
And you guys like him. Do you guys like you like his work? Yeah,
yeah,
man. He's solid gold. And then lastly, Black Tie. Let's hear Black Tie. He'll have some contrarian opinion on this.
Why? Well, first off, I just got to say, can't answer that way too seriously. He was really factual.
That's what I wanted him to be.
He had his stats ready to go.
So?
I'm just going to go with, off the top, I'm just going to go with Forte. I think the Bane and Arnold impressions were just off the cuff.
Fair.
Freestyle almost. So that was fun. And Big Cat was dope too. So.
Why black tie are you wearing a winter jacket?
Because in
July
room,
in Southern California. It's not that cold.
And the control room is cold. This is my Super Bowl jacket too.
Why do you have a winter jacket even here? It's July. Why it's even handy? So it shouldn't even be an option. You're a grown man.
It gets cold in the office.
I have
in the control
room. Emma VP has heard me say this before too. There are, of course, well, there's some people talking this week that may not agree with equality in the workplace, but I think most human beings in the 21st century are. One thing, though, that is not equal in the workplace, women sit with blankets on them because they're chilly. At work, they say, like, oh, it's cold in here, and they have blankets on their laps. What if I started doing that? Emma VP, would that be weird? Then again, Black Tie sitting there in a winter jacket. It's going out into the tundra, apparently, to shovel the snow in a minute.
It's cold in the control room, Dave. That's all I got to say.
All right. It's a weird
moment. Ice cold.
What I say. All right. So, and Black Tie, while I have you on the headset, we've been remiss. The Black Tie, the second annual film festival, needs to take place, and it needs to take place soon because once the season gets here, we have no time for that kind of nonsense.
And we figured it out. This is how we're going to do it. Last year, we did it during the March Madness, the tournament bracket. This year, with the Olympics coming up, we're going to have a field of 8 movies, and the top 3 most voted movies are going to be the gold, the medal stand, and I'll watch all those 3 movies next weekend.
Wait a second. I see. So everybody will vote.
It's a one-round vote.
One,
yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Exactly. Top 3 wins.
Why? 4 is too many for you?
Well, 4 doesn't make it onto the medal stand, man. Come on.
No, I understand. But is this a scheme to avail yourself
partly,
an extra movie?
The season also is about to start. There's a lot of work to be done, Shaq.
What movie should we do? Black Tie, by the way, I should let everybody know.
Solicit,
if you're still with us at this point in the show, then you're considered a great and good citizen of the Czech Republic. But last year you watched Pulp Fiction.
That's correct.
Star Wars.
That's correct.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
And Goodfellas.
No.
Godfather.
Yes.
You didn't like, the only one you didn't like was Raiders.
Exactly.
Should we just roll that over because those have sequels? Should it be Empire? Oh, wait, you watched Pulp Fiction. Yeah. But you should we make
I can
him
watch another Tarantino movie? That because I'm not a big Tarantino
should
fan.
Should we make him do Temple of Doom?
Oh, no, I'm not going back to the Indiana Jones realm. No.
I like how you have to think of his last name. Indiana, what's his name?
Whatever.
Do we go Goodfellas? Have you seen that, Black Tie?
I have not seen that. No.
I mean, now I'm getting angry again. You've never seen Goodfellas. What do we think, everyone? All right, we have to get the ball rolling here. But if you are listening right now, then consider yourself a great citizen of the Czech Republic, and therefore your opinion matters here. Send us a hashtag Black Tie Film Festival.
No. It's Black Tie Movie Event.
Movie event.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Exactly. See, again, there's work to be
done. Event.
Speaking of movies, I have a little something for you. We're having this argument downstairs in the blue room, and it was 2 years ago where you made this preposterous argument that Channing Tatum was a bigger movie star than The Rock. Do you remember this argument?
I do.
It was nonsense, and I have proof. You said, like, well, where's the proof? I have proof that shows.
Okay, go ahead.
Here it goes.
Tatum is my answer and Hanzoos's.
I do think you guys are wrong on the movie thing. The Rock has like 4 movies in the top 10 over the past 6 months.
He's the worst.
He's still pumping out movies that are making money ridiculously. So I think he actually has the ups right now on that.
Wrong about that.
No,
right.
I don't know. In terms of like movie popularity, like The Rock has had 4 movies in the top 10 for like.
If you
four
said
months.
If you said to any studio right now, any major movie studio, you can either make a movie with The Rock or Channing Tatum, and we'll figure it out from there. I
you
guarantee
know what they would
you,
say?
Tatum would
you
be
know what
the
they'd
answer.
They'd say, "Let's."
Oh, That was so
You know
bad.
What, Black Tie?
And,
you know what?
Fun fact,
one of my
Dan
favorite
and
action Peg heroes.
We're in on that, too. You guys are just old. That's what it is.
Now, listen. One of my favorite action heroes, while proving I'm old, Patrick Swayze. Action movie in the 80s plus Swayze equals solid gold. You had Red Dawn. You had Roadhouse. You know, there were some great movies. But you know what? When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Swayze was also in Dirty Dancing, and that's what Jerry Orbach says at the end of it. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I was wrong in this case. I don't know about where it was 2 years ago, but over the last 24 months, you've been proven correct.
It was obvious back then, too. It was just you guys were late to the party.
But maybe – but here isn't my fallback in this argument that Channing Tatum has decided to be – a little pickier in the scripts he does. He doesn't just want to do action movies, and therefore that reduce, you know, if you're in blockbuster mode all the time, like The Rock is, then your movies are going to make more money because they're summer blockbusters. And because the quality of the movies can't be debated, right? I mean, Channing Tatum's been in more good movies.
That's
I know that's not
that's
the
true.
Argument, but
no,
I'm
agreed.
Just saying that is
no,
he tries to make the Fox tries to make Foxcatcher, which wasn't the greatest, but it's an attempt to make something
agreed
no, more agreed. High-minded than The Rock doing stuff with
he's making money, man. Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. I can never remember Kevin Hart's name.
Jeez.
Well, what kind of streak is Kevin Hart on, too? By the way,
he has been in
roughly half the movie. He and Tom Hiddleston. Hiddleston
yeah.
have Thor's combined brother. To be in every movie Loki. Made in the last 4 years. But it seems like Kevin Hart hasn't made one that's been reviewed well, at least. I don't know if any of them have made money.
Like, no, they've all made it, especially for the budget it takes to make his movies. They turn a huge profit. As far as good movies he's
Kevin
made,
Hart movies make a lot of money?
Yes, they do. Based on the budget. Like, if you're making a movie based with a $5 million or $10
million Ride Along 2.
Well, I haven't seen any of the ride along, so I don't know. But I ooh. Ryan's mad because we got to wrap the show. But I'll look right. it up. And
Ride Along 2 might make the film. No, they're supposed to be good movies.
Supposed to be pre 93 or around 93. But
maybe we should make. Oh, I bet you've never seen Bad News Bears.
Oh, look at that! Ride Along 2, 124 million in box office and 40 million budget. That's a profit, my friend.
Yikes! That's pathetic.
Kevin Hart is huge, man.
What so about though? But
Ice was on that.
Oh, yeah. That was the most heavily promoted piece of junk movie I think I can recall. All right, listen. We have a lot to get to here. You know what would be great, though, is maybe Black Tie should watch a movie by Tatum – Channing Tatum. We should make him watch a movie by Tatum O'Neill. Bad News Bears. You ever see that one?
No chance.
It's a gem. Walter Matthau. Very funny.
I am watching a lot of movies. Star Trek Beyond this week. Jason Bourne next week, Suicide Squad the week after. I'm actually even going to see The Killing Joke, the animated Batman movie, one night in theaters only. So
your life is
a lot
compelling
of movies.
And rich, Black Tie. All right, listen. Thanks to Chris Harris Jr., to Matt Forte, and Big Cat of Barstool Sports. Subscribe to his podcast, Pardon My Take. And also, subscribe to this one, why don't you? And throw a comment in the iTunes section while you're at it. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven, and look at that. I'm taking the music cue, checking out.